Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Oh yeah, it's the hour we all wait for each week. Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's your host. I'm Brian Gary, along with Brett Hendricks. How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm good.
You look a year older
than
you were. Last week, we celebrated your birthday during the show and your music.
Yeah.
Did you have a good celebration?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun. My fiance actually got me an awesome birthday gift. She got me this canvas that had a saying that was specifically said to me by one of my favorite artists, Rustin Kelly, at a meet and greet. And it's just really cool. It's kind of like a motivational thing for me that I'm just going to have hanging on my desk. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's great. And birthdays are always, they're fun at your age, dude. But you're going to get to a point where it's like, okay, I don't really want anybody to know.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm defying odds. That's what I'm all about. Hey, the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show is all about music. It's all about featuring local artists and getting a chance for us to get exposed to their music. You know, generally you have to wait until about 10 at night, 11 o'clock, when you can roll out to the club and finally see the bands. Well, they should be heard on the radio as well. That's what we believe here. And why we created the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. And we've got a good guest with us today. Why don't you introduce, Brett?
Yeah, we have Esten McGraw from Esten in the 86th.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, guys.
Hey, it is great to have you, Esten. Now, I just met you when I let you in the door. I thought, okay, this is he's trying to sell something, but he looks like a musician. All right, it could be that. Esten, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's an honor to be here, and I really do appreciate you guys supporting local music and having guys like us on here, man.
Oh, absolutely. Now, when did the bug bite you, Esten? Now, I was raised on music. My home was filled with music. When I would get up and go around, my dad would be playing anything from Kenny Rogers to Charlie Pride to Buck Owens, you know, but he also played things like the Fifth Dimension and all these other things. So I had a good balance of music that was played constantly. So I always enjoyed it. Wasn't raised in a family that played it, but that's where my love of music came from. Where did you get your bug and feel this was a path you wanted to go, man?
You know, as far as pursuing music, came a lot later. I have a similar story to you. As you know, my family was all about music. You know, I used to listen to a lot of old rock and roll with my dad, and he introduced me to a lot of the countryside. My mom was more into, you know, the hip hop and that stuff. So I got, you know, a different influence from both my parents. My two older siblings were really into like punk rock and heavy metal. And
so I'm wearing a Sex Pistols t-shirt as we record this.
No, but it was after high school. I actually went to college to play football in Kansas.
Did you?
Yeah. And I had no thought in my mind to play music ever. And
were you gonna just football was it?
Yep.
I mean, were you focused? You had just like pro career dream kind of thing?
Yeah, man, that was all I thought about, man. I ate, drank, and slept football.
Yeah.
After my first semester in college, I had decided that maybe college football wasn't for me. It was a little more inclusive than I thought it was gonna be. And first season got over, I was still in school, I needed something to pass the time, went and bought a guitar. Said, I've always wanted to learn how to play, taught myself how to play, moved back to Colorado, and I posted on Facebook, anybody want to start a band? And I was lucky enough to have four or five guys. That's how it all began? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting when you hear people's paths that led them down this road, because I remember interviewing Jake Owen, and I'm asking him, you know, what turned you on this path? And he had been going to college on a golf scholarship, and he got hurt, And while he was hurt, he wasn't going to be able to golf, so he was trying to pass the time and learned how to play guitar. And then yeah. Yeehaw happened, and then this whole career took off out of that. So it's weird how things that can seem like a roadblock for us turn us into the direction we were supposed to go in the first place, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think about it all the time. I wouldn't – if I could go back and – you know, a lot of people ask me, do you regret quitting football? Do you regret, you know, moving colleges and stuff? And I look back and I'm like, no, man, I've got it good. I've got an album out. We've got some singles out. You know, we're traveling. We get to play shows. I get to come on and talk to Brian Gary on the radio about my stuff. Man, it's awesome. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's very cool. Brett, you had something?
Yeah, it's funny how that works, man. Like, I'm being a musician in the same position. Like, I had a lot of people ask me because I started my career at 14. And so I missed most of high school. Like, I didn't go to the high school parties and some of the college parties once I got to college and things like that. And everybody was like, man, you're just missing out. You're not making the hometown game and you're not doing that. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm making money and I'm having fun doing it. And people are getting to know my name. And now I'm playing all these shows with these different artists that I grew up respecting. And now you're in the crowd. So what am I really missing out on here, you know? And it was just funny how all that works. But yeah, I totally agree with you on that standpoint. One thing that we talked about before you got on the air, what do you do outside of music? Like, I know you said you had a job.
Yeah. So my parents own a trucking company here based out in Greeley here and work for them for now. Gives me the flexibility to do the music on the side, man. So
that's a very important flexibility is the one thing that, like, I respect guys who find the balance.
Yeah.
Because I know most guys that try to go all in the way that you have to at some point, but then you kind of die out real quick because you don't – I don't want to say you don't do it right, but also you just never find the footing, so to speak.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
No, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a balance that's got to be found. As much as all of us would love to not have to worry about finances, it's there.
So, yeah. No, it is. It's the root of everything. I mean, we got to start there. You got to make some money. But when you can make some money doing what you love, is what it's all about. Now, I mean, speaking of that, Aston. Now, let's say we can jump in a time machine, you know, and we can go forward. Where would you love to see, where do you imagine or where do you envision you and your music taking you?
Well, that's a...
I know it's deep, but it's, you know, really heavy, man. But let me get the lava lamp going and burn some incense and let's talk about it.
That's right, man. You know, when we started this deal, it wasn't long. I mean, at first I was like, I just want to play music, write some music. You know, I just want to go play or, you know, just kind of have fun doing it.
Just have fun, yeah.
I mean, it was. We didn't play two shows, and all of us were like, "No, we got to do something more with this."
Yeah. Did you feel it that quickly together when you played? You know that feeling, Brett, when it's just right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the first time I really ever played in a bar. I played this place called Pop Top at a blues jam, and when I was 13 years old, all I did was look at the ground when I played. I never looked up. Well, when I finally looked up that night while I was playing and saw all these people in their chairs with their cell phones out and back then still had camcorders in some cases, like things like that, it was like, oh, this is real. You can make people happy doing what you love doing in an empty shop that you grew up playing in, like I talked about last week, you know, and it's that little... You talk about the bug biting you to make you want to play music and, like, you picking up a guitar because, you know, you didn't want to play football anymore or whatever it was, or the Jake Owen story that you just told. The next bug is that after that you get on stage and it's like that drug feeling high of, oh, my God, the crowd's into it. Now I want to keep this going all the time.
Yeah.
Is that where you're feeling right now? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Have your goals changed? We'll just go with this. Since when you first started, you started just to play, you know, and get that vibe and get that fun and get that rush. You started to feel it with the band. Are your goals then different than they were? It's more than just going and playing some gigs now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a firm believer in visualizing your goals.
Absolutely.
We've got a little recording rehearsal studio down here, and I've got a whiteboard up there, and we have a list of tangible goals, and then we have a list of seemingly intangible goals, but... I'm a firm believer. The more you look at it, the more you read it, the more you work for it. more like you are to get there.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I am a big believer in the whiteboard.
Yep.
I mean, you too, Brett?
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to your craft, when it comes to your life, when it comes to discipline, when I was trying to lose 140 pounds that I did and need to keep going, but when I got there, it was those things. It was
right.
Tangible reading things. There was inspiration that grabbed me and helped me get through and helped me get to where I was going.
Yeah, me and Nicole share an office at our house, and in that office, there's... I want to plus more than five whiteboards on the wall, and they're all filled with, you know, this week we have this going on, but here are the goals, here's this, here's the timeline, and different things like that. So yeah, much respect on that.
Yeah, but I guess to kind of tie back to your original question, what our goal, our end goal is, where we see ourselves in the future. Now that I think about our whiteboard, you know, we've got, you know, 15, 20 smaller, you know, midterm goals and long-term goals, but the real big at the bottom, we have quit jobs, be rock stars.
So there we go.
That's fair.
No, it absolutely is. And when you write it and you see it, it's, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Think about it every day, every week. We go in there to rehearse, and we're like, man, one day we're going to quit our jobs and we're going to be rock stars.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So. Well, I look forward to hearing what has given you that vibe and hearing what the band sounds like together. When we come back, we have Eston McGraw with us from Eston in the 86th, and we'll find out about how you came up with the title for the band, and we'll dive into the music when we continue with the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. I'm Brian Gary along with Brett Hendricks. You can listen to it every Wednesday right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A waitress I did love. We sat in the back beneath an old stuffed bear, a worn out Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, shades of red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you?
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. My name is Brett Hendricks. We have Brian Gary and Eston McGraw from Eston in the 86 today on the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. Where did Eston in the 86 come from? I've worked in bars for a long time, inside and out, whether it was playing music or just doing like I do now and helping run the Sundance. Did you get kicked out of a bar? Did your buddies get kicked out of the bar? What happened?
that is where it comes from. Not one specific instance, per se.
You can't narrow it down to one night.
No, we were trying to come up with the name. Originally, I didn't even want my name to be part of it. I've always loved band names, you know, AC/DC, Def Leppard, whatever it is.
Yep.
But it seems like just the easy route to go to take your lead singer and make it his name band. And I never liked that, but we couldn't come up with anything cool.
Yeah,
you were stuck. You were going to use the 86th.
I mean, we had a laundry list of just terrible names, and every time
do you remember any of them?
We had like the Troublesome, we had Timberline, we had I don't know. I got a notebook. We had like 30 of them, and then our guitar player was like, "What if we just use your first name? What instead of Eston McGraw and the what if we just Eston and the?" And then our drummer was like, "The 86th." And I was like getting kicked out. I was like, actually, I kind of like that. We wrote it down. So I like the way it looks on paper.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think it's a great name.
Yeah.
I really did. When you told me, because I didn't know that you were going to be the guest today. Sometimes it's a surprise right before it happens. But I saw the name of the band, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, because you know, anybody who wanted to be a hooligan, a renegade, you know, the outcast, we all kind of have that feeling, especially I think in this industry, you know, we get that kind of vibe. So that totally plays into what people can expect.
And it does look good on a marquee. I saw your little Facebook thing. I was like, all right, yeah, that does look good up there.
Which is a huge thing, man. I mean, it really is, because you can think something sounded great, and then you see it written and go, oh, man. Yeah. That ain't Tiger Lily doesn't look as cool up there.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Well, let's dive into the music. Now, the first song we're going to hear is called Half a Bottle. Tell us the backstory on this, Aston.
Yeah, so this is actually one of the first songs we ever wrote as a band. I had about half a song written, and I really liked where it was at, but I just needed that like hook line, you know. I needed something to give it a name. I wasn't thinking of anything great. Our drummer also had half of a song, but his half of a song was I drank half a bottle of whiskey, so we put them together, used my verse, his chorus, and it just came together.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So it's like a mashup of two ideas.
Yeah. 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 I started out with kind of a somber breakup song, and his is the same idea, but he had a totally different
twist.
Twist on it.
Yeah.
We use my verse, we use his hook, and put it together, man.
Man, that's the beauty of collaboration.
Yeah.
When you can have that trust with somebody that you can do that. I want to hear what it sounds like. So let's dive into it. This is Half a Bottle by Aston in the 86th. Esten in the 86th, half a bottle on the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. Man, you want to go first or you want me to go?
Got that Black Crowes vibe a little bit. Yeah,
I'm feeling so many different things when I heard that. What I love is being taken on a musical journey that has some unexpected twists and turns, and it takes me where I'm not expected to go, but I enjoy the ride the whole way. That thing took me on a journey. When the harmonies kick in, it's like perfect timing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when the drum starts to get the kick going, it's like the perfect timing for that. And then out of nowhere, it turns into like a Blackberry Smoke, Whiskey Myers kind of guitar thing, you know, that took off. It took me in many different places. And you were right. You told me, I think you're going to like their music.
Right.
And that is my vibe.
Yeah, I broke our rule. I didn't wait to listen to this.
Didn't you? Okay.
I was driving yesterday.
You cheater, dude.
Yeah, I was driving yesterday, and he sent me the tracks, and I played the first one, and I was like, ooh. Okay, yeah, I'm going to listen to these. And so I listen to them on my drive, and I really like your stuff, man. It's cool.
Thank you.
I always ask the questions because I know we have other musicians that listen to the show and obviously have musicians on. Where'd you record it? Who produced it?
We recorded at the Blasting Room in Fort Collins.
Okay.
And I guess we self-produced, but the recording tech there, his name's Andrew Berlin. He's worked on Rise Against album.
Okay.
And he's a phenomenal musical genius. But like you said, you know, like when the harmonies come in, the certain breaks, there were certain things. We had these songs. We played them. We started recording with Andrew in there, and he went, hey, I hear this. Hey, and give me the floor tom.
Yeah.
Get back in there.
Yeah.
Go do the floor tom.
Yeah.
And I mean, he became like the fifth member for us on that record, and we couldn't be happier with it. So
engineers like that are awesome just because, like, I had that in my first record, mm-hmm. too. And he did it at Rosewood Studios down in Tyler, Texas. And the guy behind the board was just like, man, I'm hearing this. And, like, maybe try this on that guitar part because I'm a guitar player. And I was like, okay. And it helps. And it makes the process that much easier, especially when you're new in the studio. That dude saved me a lot of money that I would have gone back in and had to redo because he was just making those simple little critiques, and every time they help.
Man, well, we've done a lot of these shows. I haven't heard a first cut where I've been more anxious to hear the rest since we've started doing this show.
Wow, thank
so,
you.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Esten in the 86. We're going to have more within the next cut coming up. It's going to be called Third Street.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to hear that story as well. Man, this is fun. It's a Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. Esten McGraw from Esten in the 86. I'm Brian Gary with Brett Hendricks. We've got more coming your way on the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I'm Brian Gary and Brett Hendricks, your hosts of the show. Man, this is a fun one today. We have Esten McGraw from Esten in the 86th, and you cheated and listened to the music ahead of time, Brett.
Oh, yeah. I'm not ashamed of it.
No, I know. I like that you'll admit it right away. But
yeah.
I loved the first cut. Love to get into it. Why don't you help bring us into the second one, man? Well, I thought maybe you could. I'll ask him.
Yeah.
All right. No, so often I'll start interviewing and I'll go off and then I forget that I'm supposed to let Brett talk too. So I have no problem keeping rolling. That the sound is incredible that I heard on that first single. And who, when you talk about your influences,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just talking about Dave Grohl and his book and all that. you have a sound that encompasses a wider range of styles in there. Is that, give me an example of, if you could pick like five things you listen to a lot on your own. You told me your parents' influence, your mother was some hip hop, and your dad had more of a rock, kind of a classic rock vibe to him. Where did you fall in that, and where did you find, like, maybe your favorite band growing up? Who was it?
My favorite band growing up, that's tough. I had favorite songs, man. I listened to a lot of different stuff. I'm a big Def Leppard fan.
Yeah. Brand new album from them coming out.
Yeah, I just saw that they were doing a teaser for a single or something.
Yeah.
But I listened to a lot of the classic rock and stuff. I mean, I'm obsessed with AC/DC and all their.
So you like kind of the 80s rock, late 70s rock, that kind of your vibe? Because I was totally into the hair metal. I was a Motley Crue, Poison, Van Halen, you know, that all that stuff. With that involved makeup, big hair, and spandex, I dug it.
I think about it like this, you know, driving to school, I was listening to country, but driving out of school on Friday night, I was listening to rock and roll, man. If I wanted to go party, go have a good time, I was listening to rock and roll.
You know, we always had rock going. We always did, but there were two artists that always fit in, and Waylon Jennings and Hank Jr. still always found their way into our party mixes.
Yeah.
You know, they always found that way in there. Now, the first song we heard was called Half a Bottle, which I just love the musical journey it took me on. Where are we going on this next song? I know we're going to Third Street, but how did this come about?
Yeah, so, well, great that we're talking about rock and roll. So Third Street's kind of our introduction to the more rock and roll side of our sound and our band. It's a little faster paced and heavier. Me and my drummer wrote this song about the journey, the kind of avenue of life we were wanting to take and how it's not going to change. The chorus line is "Long live the river that takes my soul." And that's what we were going to call it. But our first scratch recording in our studio over here on Third Street, self-titled at Third Street, so we just kept it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I love stories like that. Do we even hear Third Street in the song?
No, sir.
That used to just piss me off when I would go to listen to a song, and it's like, it's called this. Why?
Yeah.
Now I know, and that's a great story behind it. Well, let's hear it. This is Esten and the 86th. It's called Third Street.
My soul.
Third Street by Eston in the 86. Man, I could list off everything that reminded me of, but in the end, it's just awesome. I like how it's very grunge guitar driven, but at the same time, like, it's got that drop bass line and everything else. How would you describe your live show? Because one of the things I like to do on the show is try to get people that are listening to come see you live. Is it a lot like that song? Is it that just in your face kind of feel at a live show, or is it kind of all over the map? Like, what do you try to do?
We like to get loud live, man. We kind of pride ourselves in being in your face, kind of kick you in the teeth live. You know, we have a few slower songs, but, you know, we try to pepper those in there.
So it's definitely a party vibe feel.
Yeah. We like to have fun live, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, like to smoke cigarettes and I like to drink. It's all in the song right there, isn't it?
It's one of the few times that I've listened to a band that would be considered playing country that I want to see people slam dance when it's playing. Because we talked about early influences and so forth, and there is one thing that I loved about punk rock, what it was on, was it had an attitude when the world desperately needed that attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this feels like that attitude. You know what I mean? Punk was full of people who couldn't really play, but they had the attitude. This is that combination of both, where you can feel the attitude, but it's got that Cadillac 3 dirtiness to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The way that I would put it is I described an old buddy of mine, Co Wetzel, this way. We've been friends for a long time. But a lot of people used to ask me when he was coming up in the Texas scene, like, man, why are you friends with him? Why do you like him? I'm like, I grew up in an era, but just turned 27. I grew up in an era where I was listening to Good Charlotte and Blink-182 and all these pop punk bands and these punk rock bands and even these alternative bands to go a little heavier than that, that didn't allow me to go see those shows because I was as young as I was in the early 2000s. Music like this is that upheaval of people my age that can now go see those shows and have that punk rock feel at a show, just like your Sex Pistols shirt.
Yeah, I absolutely. Dude, I am knocked out, and I can't wait to hear the next one. We're going to come back. We have Easton McGraw from Eston and the 36. I'm sorry. Be sure to check them out. And is your music available for people to grab?
Yes, sir. Everywhere, man. Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get it, YouTube.
So I can get this when we're done?
Yes, sir.
All right, never mind that I have three copies on my email that came in today. I'm keeping them. This is great stuff. We're going to come back with Eston McGraw from Eston in the 86. We got one more to go called Rue the Day on the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show here on KFK. We got Eston from Eston 86 on. I've heard some great songs today. Definitely getting the Whiskey Myers feel. I'm loving every minute of it. What do you got next for us, man? Like, what's this next song about?
Next one that we've got for you is Rue the Day. It's the first song that we released after our debut album. So the first two songs, Half Bottle and Third Street, are on our debut album, Long Live the River, which, like I said, is out everywhere. So we were looking for we wanted to go into the studio with, you know, a handful more songs than we wanted to put out. We wanted to have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing. I was like, you know, every good band has a cheating song. You know, getting cheated on song. And
absolutely.
So I started writing this song, and I kind of had it where I wanted it, but it just wasn't, I didn't feel it. So we didn't record it at the time. And we put out the album. We got, you know, great feedback right off the bat of releasing our album. And I was like,
crap, we should have recorded that song. So we went back and recorded it and released it right after the album.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was called Rue the Day.
And why is it called that?
It's kind of like a warning. You're going to rue the day that you know.
You dumped me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I found out, you know, that you're running around on me, so.
All right, let's hear the story. This is Esten and the 86th, Rue the Day.
The thoughts of you are running round and round in my head. After what you've done, can't even sleep in my bed. And I know all about it, about your other man. When I get my hands on him, he's gonna understand. Yeah, he's gonna understand. And I ain't one to pick no fight, but I ain't one to run. I'll stand up for what I think is right, and I'll do what needs to be.
Oh, yeah. Esten and the 86th and Rue the Day. Again, haunting. You know, it's haunting. You can feel the hurt.
Feel the anger.
You know, the hurt, the anger, all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's packed full of emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Right in there. And it's not a smile.
And that's a good
thing. You know
thing.
What I mean?
Yeah. That's the cool thing about songs like that, man. Like, I appreciate songwriting like that just because when you can make emotions just shine through a song, it makes the listener that much more involved and puts them in that place.
Oh, yeah.
No, because we've all felt that hurt. I think most of us at some point in our life have been in that spot and felt that hurt. So, I mean, there's the relatability which needs to happen. Now, I want to say to you on the show, just while we were in a break, I was telling you, dude, we've had a lot of artists in here, and the last 2 weeks I've heard the best music I've heard on this show. And Brett Hendricks, obviously, I feel very strongly about his music, so I felt last week was a great show.
Shameless plug.
Yes, absolutely. You're here. Yeah. But, but aside from that, I have not been knocked out like this. And let me just tell you, Aston, as a guy who's been in the industry for a long time, you are on the path. You have everything it takes to be that voice that we are looking for and that needs to kick people in the face. I mean, that's the sound that you've got. That's the energy that comes out, and it's what people need right now. Yeah. You're speaking to my generation as well as yours with this music.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate you saying that, man. And that's the goal. I mean, we like to, you know, kind of be in your face and loud, and we like to write what we feel. You know, we like to write real stuff too. You know, I mean, it's people say, you know, anybody can write a song, but it's hard to write one that you really, really feel, you know?
Right.
Well, and we could feel all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm right there with Brian, man. I agree 100% with him. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do. I'm looking forward to hopefully playing some shows together in the future. I think that's all the time we got today, though.
It is. We do this every Wednesday. It's a Rocky Mountain Country Music Show. Check him out on all of the places you get music. Eston and the 86th. We'll be back next week. For my partner, Brett Hendricks, I am Brian Gary. Thanks for listening to the Rocky Mountain Country Music Show, and a big thank you to my producer, Ryan Kelly, on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.